Winston Peters, our Minister of Foreign Affairs and Deputy Prime Minister, kindly with us. He's returned from his Pacific trip. Thanks for joining us on the show again, Winston. Tēnā koe.
Good morning to everybody.
Thank you for joining us. Well, our relationships with the Pacific, our medical links, economic links, having just travelled around the Pacific, what obligations do you sense as a country we have towards them?
Well, you know, we are co-inhabitants of the blue continent, so to speak. This is the way we frame the Pacific, and it's a very important in our planning and in our policy. So catching up with Tonga and Samoa and Cook Islands was seriously important, and just underscores the fact that we can't neglect our neighbourhood. We've got to take their interests in hand, because so many of them live in New Zealand anyway. And alongside that, of course, is that we have the great advantages of democracy and peace in the Pacific. It's part of the name of the whole area. We want to make sure it stays the same way.
Yeah, like we're talking with Shane, of course, he's one who advocates we can't turn our backs on economic opportunity, if that means drilling for resource on land or offshore. And I noticed that there are some overtures about drilling off the Cook Islands as well. What do you think of the economic opportunity, the environmental and cultural opposition to this, and where we're positioned at the moment, Winston?
Well, first of all, when we're dealing with the Cook Islands, and I want to emphasise that, my approach has been to treat people, no matter how big or small they are, as equals. And we expect to be treated as equals by bigger countries, and smaller countries than us should expect us to do the same all around the Pacific. So number one, it's their business. But having said that, you know, we're looking at circumstances where I think it's 6,000 metres below the surface, which is what they're talking about, and more investigation could be done about that. But just to stand over here and say they can't do that off their own land and off their own territories is very, very arrogant, might I say, and it's not my intention to say that to them. And so we had a discussion about it, but as I say, these are early days as to what they want to do. But here's the real point. If we're going to have an economy to handle the changing world and environment we're in, then the infrastructure will desperately need extraction. Extraction means that if you look around the room you're in, about 96% of what you're looking at has come by way of extraction. And you've got all these people saying, I'm green, I want to go ahead, I want the world to change. But the very utilities and resources to do that, they don't want a bar off. So it's hypocritical and extreme in my view. We can't have the new wind power, solar power, and all these other powers without we have extraction. That means mining. You see my point.
Thanks for it. Fast-tracking consenting. What do you make of this? Is it a role for politicians to circumvent public input? Or how do you position what's occurred here to streamline consents for development?
Look, David Parker in the last government had put together some legislation. Some of it was good and some of it wasn't so good. But the part he did get right was the need to fast-track consents. Massive amounts of money are being used in the consenting process, while every Tom, Dick and Harry gets in there, whether they've got any interest or not, and opposes it. The longest one I recall is a supermarket in Auckland requiring 28 years to get a consent. Now, we can't go anywhere as a country if we've got those sorts of delays. But it has a massive effect on ordinary people as well as business, because the costs are going on to new homes. The costs are